Hey everyone, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Luke.
Welcome to The Breakdown. It's a good day to be alive, brother.
Yes, it is.
Hey, sure welcome is. Back, man.
Thank you.
I'm going to welcome you back from a couple of different things. I mean, here I was thinking you were in Rome the whole time, and you were in Rome for 10 days?
About 9 days if you include travel days, so like a full week there.
Okay, all right. Nine days. I love it.
And I came back, and then I did the Camp Monadnock with the youth group.
Well, I think that's the part that is really appealing to me is that you came right back and jumped on a camping trip with our youth. And dude,
it was super, super fun. You. Super, super fun. And it was really cool to see how the kids were really going deeper with the Lord. Mm. The message that was shared, the speaker was absolutely excellent.
I heard it was great.
Yeah, he just stayed in one passage the whole weekend.
He's gone.
It was about the love of God and that we are loved by God. And then what comes out of that? Like, what is that? Like, how's that fruit supposed to look in our life? Going deeper in his love and then living it out. It was awesome. And then the way the camp was set up, we'd have times where we could just spend times with our own church group, and like all the Great. Church groups were assigned different areas of the camp. So we had a really powerful time of worship. Abby Connolly led some worship songs, the first one. So kids were really able to go in deep and they were sharing different things. And yeah, and like you could see like all the kids were making really deep progressions in their relationship with the Lord. And they had times of, you know, sharing their testimonies towards the end of the trip. Lots of powerful things. Kids were, you know, choosing Jesus for the first time.
Praise
Others
God.
Were going deeper.
Yeah.
Super powerful.
Praise God, man. I'm so glad to hear that. It's awesome. We heard from Roger, who was on the show last week. Thanks so much, Raj. And we heard from Pastor Bill as well. And man, it did sound like a really awesome time. And you had all the staples, like the paintball and the water and all these different things. So that's really cool. But I really do believe that the spiritual component is so important when kids get away or when any of us get away. You're out there in the woods and man, we don't spend enough time separated from our devices and our reality.
Right.
Did you guys do the thing on the trip where the kids have to check in their devices?
Yeah, it was an electronics free trip.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We've heard from Pastor Roger and Pastor Bill that the kids have seemed to come, you know, Roger was on the show last week telling us that the kids have really seemed to come into alignment with that and be okay with it and see the benefit of it. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, especially as adolescents, they are very peer group oriented. So when you are doing it as a group, I think that helps.
Nice.
So certain growth happens with them in the process of a group. Which is why I think youth group is super important.
It's awesome.
You know, because we do have our own relationship with the Lord, and that is the basis of everything.
Yeah.
But even as adults, we derive encouragement and support and growth by doing it in a community.
Yeah.
And that's super important at their age, where their peer group really can influence a lot. And like they check the teaching of their parents and their leaders against their group. So it's important that we influence them as a group, not just one-on-one.
That's so awesome, man. So that's where you guys were this past weekend. So it was really awesome to hear that our youth were there. You guys were there. I think Pastor Roger said you guys had 80 youth?
I think so.
Like that.
It was just a lot. I don't know the number. I was like,
big.
There's a lot of kids and leaders. And
some youth groups aren't that size. I mean, a lot of youth groups aren't that size. That's amazing. So, hey, check in with our teenagers and our Crown, you know, so Crown and United, they were away at camp last weekend. So if you see them, check in on them. We talked about that last week on the show with Pastor Roger, just being present and available. And before we get into the message, a couple quick announcements. You just came back from Rome. We'll get to that in a minute. But on Sunday and the Sunday prior, we're hearing from Pastor Ashley that we're aiming for Easter for that day of our first service in the new sanctuary.
Yeah.
Which a few of us have been over there. We've gotten access to our SOS classrooms and some offices. So we've been watching the progress and it really is amazing. You know, we read the stories in the scripture or the accounts in the scripture of the Old Testament of the walls being built and the temple being built. And while we are presently by the Holy Spirit, the temple of the living God, it is still really cool to watch the process of the Lord building and forming something in our modern time for his glory and for his sake. Mm-hmm. A sanctuary of worship and praise for people to gather, to hear the gospel and to be strengthened in their faith. So that is really cool. So we're shooting for Easter. We're shooting for one service. The running joke, although I'm probably the only one that's saying it out loud, is that we may not stay at one service very long if things just keep growing.
No, that is good.
It's
that's good. It's a good thing.
It's really cool.
Because we want to fill the seats and bring in more people so that they can hear more of the Lord. And we want to grow.
It's so true. For his sake, for his glory. Listen,
yes.
God is doing a mighty work in New England. And if we get to be a part of that, why are we going to fight it? Why are we going to balk
at
it?
And I think we can trust that, you know, like what the parable of the talents teaches us is that the Lord gives us what he knows that we can handle.
Mm-hmm.
So as we steward what he's given us, he's going to give us more.
Yeah.
So let's trust that if more are coming, it's because the Lord is providing that. So
amen.
It's not about us, you know, trying to create a big movement.
Yeah.
It's about us using what the Lord has given us, stewarding the people, and trusting that if it's his will, he's going to give us more as he sees that we are faithful with what we have.
Amen. I'm really glad you're saying that. Luke 16 right there. You know, he who's faithful in what is least will be faithful also in much.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Lord has seen that you've been faithful with the little or the much that he's given you, you can be entrusted with more.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who started with the parable of the talent, the guy who started with 5 earned 10 and he gets 10 more.
Yeah.
I mean, there is exponential growth when you're following the Lord. It does require, and this is where Pastor Zach has been really challenging us as a current body and as a leadership staff team, that we have to be in a place of humble before the Lord, walking with that understanding of like, this is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, like you said, like, you know, amassing this group or whatever for
right.
It's the Lord and he's entrusting us with more.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so speaking of the more, we are well underway at School of the Spirit in our semester, but I do want to just throw this out there as a quick announcement. We are offering a free leadership miniseries. Dr. Asha Kamadapalli, hopefully you know the Kamadapallis by now, just a really instrumental family in the area and in India. And Dr. Asha will be teaching her leadership class, which started as a main course here for our school, but she really felt it was important to get to everybody. So this is a free course at School of the Spirit. It's a mini series. It'll be 6 weeks, 1 hour, Tuesday nights before prayer. More information on our website, schoolthespirit.church, under mini series, and you can just register for it there. But we do believe that you'll be blessed. You know, Pastor Zach was talking several weeks ago about the problem and the deficit with leadership training today is that it's built on the world's principles.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Asha really makes her course surround the model of Jesus and servant leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, what's really cool is you kind of see that concept of servant leadership coming out in some like corporate teachings too now, because you know anything that works ties back to the Bible.
That's right.
In some way. And I remember at work like getting an email about leadership and the phrase servant leadership.
No
was
way.
In the, yes.
Wow.
And it's like, yep, exactly.
Wow.
You know, if in the end to have something that works, it's going to have to line up with the Bible.
Praise God. So that's awesome. Again, that starts March 26th. 6. More information at schoolthespirit.church. But that's really cool, Luke, to hear that it's coming into the workplace.
I had
a
little laugh.
Yeah, I bet you
inwardly.
Did. Little inward chuckle there. You and your phone.
Yeah.
Hey, man, give us a quick rundown, big takeaway, you know, 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the trip to Rome was a vacation.
Yeah.
And it's important for us to get away
Amen.
In our life. And, you know, this opportunity opened up for me and some of my friends to go spend a week in Rome. Super cool, super amazing photos and videos. You can look at as many as you want. Does not capture what it's like to actually be there. Cannot capture the size of the Colosseum, the Statue of David, and all the details and the artwork and all of that. But I would say, like for me, like a spiritual takeaway that I had from the trip was, you know, you're looking at ancient Rome, and it's like the center of civilization, and you can really feel that.
Wow.
The Romans just had such a wide reach. They had excellent, you know, infrastructure, roads, and just the craftsmanship. They would set up a monument to literally anything. And everything was basically, like even the fact that the emperor was worshipped, all of their different gods and stuff, you can see how it's really just a worship of the flesh.
Wow.
And then even like like they would have the cult of like the Vestal Virgins, and like there would be these women that would say that they were going to be virgins for like 30 years, and like they would get special privileges. But it's like in all this way, everything's about the flesh. The Colosseum is about the flesh. It's about blood sport. And it's not about like saving life. It's about like actually like they wanted to see killings. And I was listening to a podcast, and it's like over the years, they would just add more and more holidays, more and more opportunities for this blood sport.
Wow.
Now, there were Jews in Rome, and the Romans had conquered, Israel, like as we know from the time of Jesus. And there were Jews in Rome. They were a sect. They were a minority. And then when Christianity comes, that's still a minority sect. But understanding against this backdrop of fleshly pursuit and worship and just fame, fortune, and blood, you now have Jews and some Romans now who are coming into the truth of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they are now being made alive. And you can see now, like in the writings, why Paul would have to talk, especially to Jews who they understood the law and they understand that this fulfillment of Jesus is the fulfillment of the law.
Yeah, yeah.
So they feel like they have the whole thing and they have this leg up on these fleshly Romans.
Wow.
Right? So you can understand why he has to write, by the law, no flesh can be justified. Because they do have a deeper understanding than just a fleshly Roman who's like, yeah, Jesus, like my sins are forgiven and it's grace. Right?
Yeah.
So, but that believer is just as much in as the Jew who understands and has all this knowledge.
Wow.
So it's not that the knowledge gives them, salvation plus.
Yeah, a one up. There, it's good. That's really good. Everything you just summarized all of Romans 1, 2, and 3 right there. You literally talked about, Romans 1 and 2, the separation of the Jews versus the Romans and the fleshliness and how Paul points it out. And Romans 3 brings it to, but all have sinned and fallen short. So that's really cool.
But it's one thing like when you can see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they are remnants, but it is there.
Well, you were even texting me. I don't know. I don't know how you were texting me from a foreign nation.
This is a cell phone plan.
Oh, okay. So. All right. I was like, wow, go Luke. You've traveled enough to know what to do, but you're texting me and you're like, we have to do an SOS class.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Here in Rome.
On site.
I'm like, okay, bro, this is really cool. Let's do the powers and the gospel down there. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to have you back. Had a great time with Roger last week. Like I said, it was a lot of fun. And we are in, I don't know, part three or four. Okay.
It's three.
It's not a series with Pastor Zach. So we're talking about Jehu. This week, we're getting into Ahaziah. And I'm just going to read this passage real quick because Pastor Zach said to us on Sunday, this is the only scripture we're going to get to today. And everything was built off of this. So, we're in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 27. But when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the road to Beth-Hagon. So Jehu pursued him and said, shoot him also in the chariot. And they shot him at the ascent of Gur, which is in Ibleam. And then they fled to Megiddo and died there. And so as Pastor Zach is bringing us into this passage, the whole focus this morning or on this passage that we're studying out in this journey with Jehu is the pedigree and the proximity, these two places of, hey, we're all born into something. And so Pastor Zach brought us into the reality of Ahaziah and what was in his lineage, what he could have chosen. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that the Lord leads Pastor Zach and how he's able to extrapolate and draw out so much of this is actually really cool when you're sitting down, like the connections that are happening. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this is really awesome to bring it into what you and I were talking to on the way over here, the New Testament reality.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And it's like, hey, just because you're born into this sin nature doesn't mean that you have to stay there.
No,
it's your proximity to agreement with that is keeping you in that place. So just a lot of great stuff we can flesh out in our time together.
Absolutely. I think it's super important that we understand that in Jesus, the blood of Jesus is now our true bloodline.
Yes.
And nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Paul writes about that in Romans 8. Go read it.
Yeah.
You know, no matter persecution, tribulation, things heaven, things of hell, like nothing can separate you from the love of Christ that you now have, right? So it is permanent, and God's grace covers you.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have this other side. It's like this duality of putting to death our sin nature.
Yeah.
So I am saved, I am sanctified in Christ.
Yep.
But then the outworking of that takes time.
Yes.
And I will say, you can kind of go, like, God will bring you on a journey, on your journey of healing and restoration, but a lot of times it's our cooperation and our unwillingness to surrender things can delay the process.
100%.
So this is where, like, we're talking about proximity, you know, like Paul says, like, walk in the Spirit and then you will not satisfy the deeds of the flesh.
Yeah.
So as we, and it's not a muscling. So that's the thing, walking in the Spirit, you can't muscle your way into that, because now you're completely relying on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is your comforter and your counselor, and he's going to guide you in this process. But the obedience is on our part.
That's so true. Look, it is absolutely imperative that we make that clarification, a distinction right there, that we do have a part to play. I think sometimes when we come to Christ and we watch some things break off immediately, we say, wow, the Lord just instantly dried up this addiction, just dried up this desire. And then the longer we walk with the Lord, there are still some things that the Lord, because he's bringing us into sanctification.
Exactly.
There are more things that he wants to draw out. We do have a part to play. This is what Paul is talking about in Philippians 2:12. Work out your salvation. It's the outer working of what's taking place in the Spirit into the area of the soul and into the area of the body.
Yes. And sometimes, like, it's just a click off.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, an example that's coming to me is, in your flesh, maybe you are a workaholic and you are all about work. And as Pastor Zach was saying, especially in the first service, about your allegiance, maybe your allegiance is to your job primarily and making money. Like, that is what characterizes your life. Well, that is of the flesh because we are not to be about those earthly pursuits.
Yeah.
So now maybe you're thinking, well, Luke, are you saying I shouldn't work? No, because that's not what I'm saying. Because now in the Spirit, what are we taught? We are given the principle of biblical stewardship.
Yep.
So it's okay. So I now see my work as doing something unto the Lord. God has provided my work to me. So I'm going to work at it, but not from this place of lack and trying to gain, but a place of, I'm stewarding what God has given me, and because it is God's, I now am submitted to God in everything. So I'm not going to do this at the expense of my family or at the expense of my own physical rest. I'm also going to now Sabbath, and I'm going to tithe with the trust, knowing that this is all God's.
Yeah.
So it's not that God is taking the job away from you. He's taking the workaholism away from you.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, if it gets bad enough, it looks like God taking your job away, but he's going to give you back those things, because he gives us our daily bread.
That's right.
But it's about coming into this understanding. Like Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Yeah.
Well, yoke is a form of work. So he's basically saying, my work is going to be easy.
Mm.
My burden is light if you're doing it in my strength.
Yeah, that's absolutely critical.
But it's subtle.
Yeah, it is. Like you said, it could just be one click off. And I like the object lesson you're kind of using there, or the illustration you're using there on workaholism, because we do live in a culture. And I want to say this too. We've been talking about this a little bit in some of our classes and chapels and different dialogues that, you know, it's almost easy to fall into workaholism, because there is such a way to see results.
Mm-hmm.
We can see results. It's much harder to invest in the personal life and in the home life. You don't see as quick results.
Right.
You can often see some pretty quick results in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so if we just keep drawing from that as our source of encouragement and identity, that's how all of a sudden, before we realize, it's become an idol. We're wrapped up with it. And it does sometimes take an extraction of that and being removed from that to have that reality kind of take place. But I think in terms of the proximity piece, if we understand that the Lord is bringing us out of that sin nature, and our responsibility, Romans 12, 1 and 2, is to present our bodies a living sacrifice and to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Those two things that we're doing in connection with the Lord as he's moving us away from that bend of sin that we would say would be the pedigree, you know. And just if you missed the message on Sunday, Pastor Zach was kind of walking down how Ahaziah is in that same lineage under Ahab. And the Lord wanted to do something different, but Ahaziah put himself in proximity in the negative way to Joram. Is it Joram here? Yeah. Who is going to be destroyed.
A lot of J's.
He has a lot of J's. And I got caught on Sunday studying out Jehoram and Joram because the father, it was intertwined there.
So if you were confused, just, you know, it's tough for us to. So don't worry.
Oh, it's so good. You know, but one of the things that Pastor Zach brought out, and I don't know if we want to go into the Americana side that did come up first service, which I was really, really glad to hear. You know, we've seen a lot of talk, whether it was the football field a year or so ago with all the football players taking a knee during the national anthem and these things, this place of allegiance, you know. And not that we shouldn't have an allegiance to our nation, but our allegiance, first and foremost, should be to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's truly the one who has bought and paid for us. And that's what we see in 1 Corinthians 6. You know, Paul says that we are to honor the Lord with our body and our spirit, because they are the Lord's. He has paid the purchase price for our body. So our allegiance lies to him first.
Yeah. No, I was thinking, you know, when the angel of the Lord appears to Joshua and Joshua's question is, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he says, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.
Yes.
So, and that is where our allegiance ought to be.
Yeah, it's good.
So it's not that we don't get involved with what's going on with our world, but we don't do it from a place where our affections, our emotions are going to lead us astray. Mm. We do it from a place of, oh, I am God's ambassador here.
That's right.
And I represent his kingdom.
Yeah.
So I follow his truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, aligned with a particular party or whatever. It's I am about God's truth.
Yeah.
And what he calls sin, I call sin. What he calls good, I call good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good right there, what the angel is saying to Joshua. That's really, really important because, as you said, if you look at it from the angelic host perspective, they are literally messengers from God. Well, Paul says we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been sent here. We are now, our whole identity has been changed to Christians, those who are Christ-like. And we are bringing the kingdom of God on this earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
It is not like this nationalism that we're trying to now reinstate.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And
absolutely.
Even what our founding fathers fought for, what they were fighting for, was based on the biblical principles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to get back to that. But I think we can go about it in somewhat of a fleshy way. You know?
Yes. And I think what's super important is remembering the armor of God, our feet are clothed in the gospel of peace.
That's right.
So where I walk in peace.
Amen.
And I take that to mean, like, when I go into a situation of conflict, well, my feet don't touch the conflict. Mm-hmm. My feet are clothed in peace.
Yes.
And I bring restoration.
Yes.
I bring the truth.
Yes. Yeah, that's so important. Hey, you know, you even bring that back to like just a simple conflict resolution situation. A lot of times we get into a conflict. I was born in the middle. My life is in the middle. I have just found like the Lord gave me the birth order because it was going to be indicative of my life. So I'm literally a middle child. I live in the middle. And part of the beauty, I used to hate it, but part of the beauty is you can see both sides.
Yeah.
And so the reality is like, I'm here for truth. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to take sides. I'm here for truth. And if we can come to agreement on truth, that's where we're going to find our ceasefire.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it's like I've grown into more of a place of peace.
Mm.
Whereas naturally in my flesh, I'm more of a like, okay, we're going to battle this out and I'm going to like rip you to shreds. And I'm the guy that like would play through an argument in my head and like a confrontation. It's like, this is going to be so good. And I can just, I had this huge speech in my head and like, I'm going through it and it's like, I'm proving all my points. And like, I will come up, come out on top in this. But then when you go into those situations and it's like you really then submit yourself to the Lord, it's like it turns out very differently from what I had imagined.
Yeah.
But it's peaceful and it's orderly.
Just out of curiosity, just to kind of play out my natural conclusion here, are you the youngest child?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
I'm the oldest.
You had to be one or the other.
But
I knew
because
it.
Because my sisters, they're twins, and they were only 20 months younger.
Oh.
So we kind of had like I had a little leg up because I was the oldest and the only boy.
Mm.
But because they're right there, it's kind of like a,
wow.
We got an even playing
mutuality,
field.
Mutuality, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going through it in my head just because I have these theories that my wife knows I'm always working out and our buddy Alex knows I'm always working out my last child syndrome philosophy. But I was like, Luke's either an oldest or a youngest based on getting your story. Like, I'm going to win this argument. So thank you for clarifying that. The last piece of information that I wanted to kind of tease out, because this you know, I guess it was maybe a little bit misunderstood. I fully understood what Pastor Zach was saying, but when he talked about the affections and the compassion and, you know, and that leading you or almost potentially leading you astray if you're not careful, he draws the conclusion back from the earlier passages where Ahaziah was coming to see Joram because he was wounded. And so I actually thought this was really, really cool because we have seen areas of our own life where our affections could lead us astray if we're not careful.
Everyone has.
Absolutely.
That. Like, think over your life.
Yeah.
You know?
I was glad to have that check on Sunday. Like, I know, I guess there was some misunderstanding there, but I was glad. I was glad to get checked with that on Sunday because it means that, wow, when we look at boundaries of our life, maybe there are some openings, you know, maybe there are some windows that really should be shut. And we need to make sure that those windows are shut because I don't necessarily want to have an affection draw me away because I'm compassionate towards the situation.
We should be led
by the Spirit of God.
Yep.
And even when you come to the New Testament, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with the compassion of God. And so we can actually have our own natural desires and natural affections that can be led astray. And I think it's really important because you can say, where are there are passages where Jesus is moved with compassion? Because I was wrestling through this in reality during the message, and I was so glad to get checked. But then there's this the messenger that comes to Jesus and says, listen, you've got to come now because Lazarus is sick and he's going to die. And Jesus intentionally stays two more days.
Right.
He's not moved by these feelings and affections. He's moved by what the Lord is leading him with, which ultimately my takeaway on Sunday was, hey, make sure that I'm being led by the Spirit and not necessarily a compassionate affection that is just stirring in my own fleshy desire.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in 2 Corinthians 6, you know, go read it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that's a passage where, you know, like in verse 11, like Paul says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us.
Mm.
And then the passage that follows is where he talks about don't be yoked together with unbelievers.
Yeah.
And taking that within the context of the message, that's what Pastor Zach's talking about with the proximity.
Mm.
It's, are you walking with unbelievers and with the causes of the world from a place where you have so to the point that you are now compromising the truth of God?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it feels good. And sometimes like Satan guises it as like, well, you're being compassionate.
Yeah, that's right.
Like you have to, don't you understand how they're feeling?
Mm.
And it's very subtle and it plays on our emotions or don't you want to provide for your family? You've got to work overtime every week. If that means that you have to skip out on time with your child or a church service, don't you need that? Like, I mean, look at those bills. So that is how Satan plays on our affections and gets us to yoke up with the world.
So good. That's so good. As Pastor Zach was teaching on Sunday, I am simultaneously, again, going through the New Testament passages in my mind, and then I heard the words of Jude. And then he ended up bringing up, I believe, either that service or second service, but Jude, verse 23, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire,
yes,
hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Mm-hmm. There has to be this place of, okay, I see you as an individual. The Lord sees you and loves you, but we've got to pull you right out of that. And you've got to come, yes, over here out of that.
Yes.
You know, hating even the garment defiled, mm-hmm, by the flesh. So it's like, I'm not entertaining and dancing around that place of danger, mm-hmm, because I could also be defiled by,
exactly,
that. And we're,
oh,
watching,
yeah,
it happen in real,
oh, yeah,
time.
Oh, yeah. And like, I forget which writer it is, but it's like, you know, when you're praying for people and they're confessing, and be careful not to fall into the same sin yourself.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. There are times where I've been praying with people about certain things. Mm. And then after that, it's like you get a temptation that's very much along the lines,
yes,
that they had.
Yes.
And it's like, this isn't even something that I'm tempted by.
Yep.
Like, how come I'm feeling this?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. So, you know, if you were struggled with that a little bit on Sunday, like, understand the full context, because I really do believe that the Lord was using Pastor Zach to bring that strong word, mm-hmm, to challenge some of those boundary lines in our life, because we have been taught that because God is love, love operates on the definition of the world, but God is love. And, mm-hmm, he defines what love is,
right?
Not the world.
Exactly, exactly. And the opposite of God is sin.
Yeah.
The opposite of love is hate. So, yeah, there, and I think we can get uncomfortable with that word hate.
Yeah.
But there are things that God hates. So, mm, we ought to allow him to work through us so that we then hate those things.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's a tricky journey, because, you know, it's again the garment that contaminates their life. We hate that.
Mm.
We don't hate the person.
Yeah.
Because that is someone that God loves and God is drawing back to themselves.
Yeah.
But even in our own life, we need to hate. Like, how often have you hated your own sin?
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we may say, well, I don't like this about myself. But it's like, but are you still allowing yourself
to
be clothed in,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's good. That's good.
Do you hate it enough to take
eradicate
it off,
yep,
and say, God, I don't want this?
No clearer is this scene than when raising children. You know, foolishness, the Proverbs just lands it all. You get it all in the Proverbs. This is one proverb. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from them.
Mm-hmm.
Another proverb, spare the rod, spoil the child. Another proverb, he who spares the rod hates his own son. You talked about love and hate.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it no clearer than when you're training a child. And I tell my children, and what my father told me that I didn't understand, and you don't understand it when it's happening, Hebrews 12, no correction and punishment feels good at the time, but in the end, it yields the peaceable fruit,
yes,
of righteousness. I love you, therefore I'm disciplining you. I love you, therefore I'm correcting you. No, you don't, Dad. You hate me. No, it's actually my love for you that wants to see that sin eradicated, that rebellion eradicated from your life.
Mm.
Love is driving me. Love is motivating me to hate that sin inside of you. So I'm going to correct it. I'm telling you, we're watching it, because it doesn't matter. We talked to Pastor Roger last week, kids ministry or in the public sector. We're watching a generation being raised,
yep,
without that sense from those Proverbs that we have been given.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, like, when we're taking this in context, I don't know if he said this in second service at all, but I know in first service, before he got into the message, you know, Pastor Zach was talking a lot about, you know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And it can be disconcerting and hard and confusing when we submit ourselves to the Lord and it's like, why are you rearranging my life?
Mm.
But when you look at, the Bible Project has a really good video on, it's a very short video, look it up on YouTube, about peace. Just type in Bible Project and shalom or peace. And they break down how, like, the Old Testament word for shalom really means to restore. And it carries with it this picture of putting, rebuilding a wall or setting pieces in their right order. And when God is coming into our life and he's bringing peace into our life, it can often feel like we are, like, things are being arranged. And so I have to submit everything that happens to my in my life through that lens of, God, I trust that,
yeah,
you are the Prince of Peace,
yeah. Yeah.
And you have come into my life. So that is your goal and that is what you are doing. Yeah. It's not even like a standard that we're striving for. It's what you are doing in my life.
So good.
So you are bringing peace and order to my life, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the psalmist David says, do I not hate those who hate you?
Right.
And we look at it, we say, we don't hate people. No, we don't. But do I not hate those things that hate you, God? And anything that's in my life that is rebellious and vile towards you is hating you, God.
Yeah.
So I hate those things that you yes. want to work out yes. of me.
So rearrange it, take it
yeah.
out.
yeah.
Replace it.
Yeah. Yeah, and get help to do so. Like, we fully understand. I think you were quoting what Paul writes in Galatians earlier, that we are to, you know, restore one another in a spirit of gentleness,
yeah.
considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted.
Yes, exactly.
Okay? And
exactly.
so it's like, if you find a brother overtaken by any sin, this is the whole point here, is that we need one another.
Mm-hmm.
We need one another to call out, hey, man, I'm seeing this in your life. And, you know, when somebody confronts you with that, you should be like, whoa, all right. Well,
exactly. Yeah. And this is why it's so important that we understand our bloodline. Mm. Our true bloodline is I now have the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside of me.
Yeah.
So this is done.
Mm-hmm.
This is done. So you operate from victory, not from a place of fear.
That's right.
Or like, oh, I'm sliding. I'm stumbling. And it's like, he's got you. And it is by that victory that he has accomplished that you then tell Satan to go. Because if you're going to go in your own strength, it's not going to work.
That's right.
Because like you're operating in the flesh then, and your flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. Dude, you came back fire, man. Thank you so much for coming back and jumping into
the
show.
I'm glad I'm back.
I'm glad you're back too. This is so perfect. So I think you ought to close us in prayer today.
Okay. Father, thank you for this opportunity to grow in you. To digest your word, and we pray that we would live knowing what it is that is really keeping us alive, the true blood that is in our veins,
yes.
and that it is from you, and that we are called into life, we are brought into life, we are brought into peace, and it is by that power that we live. And so we submit our affections to you, we submit everything to you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Luke. Love you, bro.
Love you, too.
Glad you're here. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on The Breakdown today. We will catch you next week.